Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
Daniel chapter number 2, and I want to send you all the way to the end of Daniel chapter number 2 and verse number 48, and start there, and then we'll backtrack, all right? I'm not going to read the full chapter this morning. We'll allude to it all the way through the message. Daniel chapter number 2 and verse 48, and let's see this on this, what is said about Daniel. Then the king, that's Nebuchadnezzar, made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, not just part of it, the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king in a very notable place. Now, as we think about that, those are some incredible verses, because we remember last week Daniel had just been taken from Israel and brought over in the captivity, the exile. And now he is surging to the top in a matter of just a few short years, surging to the top in Babylon. Man, he must have had to cut some deals. I mean, he must have had to scratch some backs and say some really nice things to be put there. You know, so often in our society, we believe as individuals, as believers, followers of God, if we don't compromise something, we'll never get to the top. We'll never stand out. We'll never make a difference. Today's message is not a message on how to get to the top. Today's message is a message on how to be used of God in a secular culture and not compromise in the process. And it's a very needed thing in our day. You and I need to remember this. So let's go back to Daniel chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And let's see what is the context of that statement about Daniel at the end. In verse number 1, it says this, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to all the magicians and astrologers and sorcerers and Chaldeans for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king," now notice this, "live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said unto the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me." How many of you are with the king? I cannot ever remember my dreams. Right? That's what's going on. I can't ever. Any of you live with somebody that can recount them perfectly? Yeah. Okay. So this is not the king. All right. Verse 5. "And the king said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut into pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill." Nice king. "But if ye shall show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." I would have been making something up at that point if he didn't remember it. And they might have been tempted to do the same thing. Verse 7, "Then answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. And the king answered and said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the whole thing is gone from me." You're going to come up with something. "But if Ye will not make known unto me the dream. There is one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, no ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologers or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. You can be seated. It's kind of interesting how we get from that point to the end, Daniel being given great honor. Really want to challenge us with this matter today of being committed to the Lord, to his truth, no matter what. No matter what. You're going to find yourself in situations where the pressure is on to compromise. And if I want to get to that place in society, or if I want to get into that place or that spot in my workplace, or if I want to be accepted of my family in a certain way, or if I want to be accepted by the secular culture in general, then I'm going to have to compromise in order to get there. Friends, the Bible over and over shows us that God blesses those who stand by the truth. God blesses those who are committed to him no matter what it might cost. Daniel's a great example of that today. Right now, I'd like for you to bow and ask the Lord to work in your heart today. Friends, today, this week, you're going to be challenged. You're going to be tested in your level of commitment to the Lord. So right now, before I pray, would you bow and ask the Lord to speak into your heart and give you his words to strengthen you to be committed no matter what? Would you bow and pray that before I pray? Father, our ears and our hearts are open to you. This is your word that we've read. You've given us this narrative that's true. We accept it as so. Lord, you've told us that you've given us the Old Testament in specific for example, for illustration. Lord, as I've read through this passage of Scripture, there's so much vivid illustration that applies to my life and to our lives today. So I ask that we'd be able to understand that. Lord, if anyone is here that does not know you as Savior, they've not even taken that first step of committing their life to you, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation, that you would just work in their hearts in a special way, that you take your word by your Holy Spirit and you'd work. You bring them to the point of knowing for certain. I pray for every believer here, for those here and watching. Lord, I pray that you would stir up the level of our commitment, that we would not bow or cave, bend to the world that is around us. Lord, I am mindful that the people in this room are going to be tested. They're going to be tested in their families, their workplaces. Lord, now is the time that we must fortify ourselves, that we must make decisions to be committed. Lord, we've already watched other believers around our country have to make decisions on whether they would pray in public, whether they would bake a cake, or they would give credence to a culture that is running away from you. Lord, it's not woke, it's not awake, it's vastly asleep and totally desensitized to you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be committed. And Lord, I pray that you'd use the life of Daniel to challenge us in this way. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. And God's people said, amen. Thanks for being here today. And I hope that the life of Daniel, lessons of Daniel, will help do exactly that, fortify your walk. I really believe this, folks. You're not far off from a test in your workplace. Many of you have been tested in your families. Your families say that you're crazy for following after the Lord. They don't agree with your Christianity. They don't agree. And you are tested as to whether, maybe I'll just stay silent. Maybe I'll not say anything. you're not far off from a test. We're not far off from a test as a church. And we must remain committed to the Lord no matter what comes our way. And perhaps it feels like it's a little bit of a broken record right now in this matter of commitment. But friends, if we understand that God has called us to this hour, He has called us to this hour. He's called your children and your grandchildren to this hour. I've heard people say, well, I'm just so afraid about my children. I'm so afraid about my grandchildren growing up in this day. God put them here. God put them here. And God will equip them, and He will equip you to stand in this age just like He equipped Daniel. Something that moved me very, very much this morning as I contemplated this. Last week, we realized that Daniel was carried into captivity. Give us a timeline, guys. And notice that Daniel was born 621 B.C., and we believe that around 605 B.C., he was carried into captivity. Before the destruction of Judah, he was carried into captivity a good while ahead of time. But we said he was around the age of 16. And if that is the case, Daniel's somewhere in the neighborhood of 18 years of age when he is standing before the king to do exactly what he did today and to interpret a dream and to stand in that hour. He's not that old. And we fear about it. Will our children be able to stand in this state? Listen, we need to model it. We need to understand it. And do remember that Daniel grew up under the reign of Josiah, under the reign of revival. It was squashed with Jehoiakim and his rebellion against God's word. But God was preparing Daniel to stand in Babylon, to live in Babylon, to live in a secular society, a society that we live in today. You can't go anywhere. You can't walk into Walmart. You can't walk into Target. You can't walk into anywhere without being faced with the secularization of society. It's just there. It's everywhere, and they want you to know it. And it's encroaching upon every single business that we deal with. It is everywhere. And so I want us to realize that Daniel, as a young man, was standing in this society. And friends, your children and your grandchildren, we need to prepare them. We need to seek God and ask God to raise up Daniels this week. Daniels who will stand and will speak truth in this society and will stand in this society, not just make a decision, but will actually stand. And we're a part of that. We're a part of that. And God's truth is what helps us so very much with that, and a commitment to God's truth. We need to demonstrate that in our own lives as well. So Daniel is there in Babylon, along with his friends and other captives of the royal seed, of the prince's line. They're there in Babylon. They've already had a test. Are you going to eat the king's meat? Are you going to drink the king's wine? No. They purpose in their heart. They eat vegetables for 10 days, water for 10 days, and they came out looking better than the rest of the captives that compromised. By the way, they all came from the same place. They came out better looking and more blessed than the others that had compromised. Always go with God. Always go with God. Always honor His word. And they did that. And so Daniel is coming into Daniel chapter 2, the second year of Nebuchadnezzar. And again, Daniel and his friends have been living lives without compromise. And we see a little bit of that, because there's a division between them and the wise men. Daniel and his three friends were the wise men. In fact, when it came time to be killed, they went seeking for Daniel. So he was a part of the wise men, a part of these that were used to counsel the king. And there's a division there. They're kind of hush-hush. And I want us to notice, first of all, in Daniel's life here, that Daniel was disregarded by the other wise men. He was disregarded by the other wise men. He wasn't pulled along when this moment came for the king to call them in. Verse number 2, and the king commanded the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. And so they're all coming together and to answer, and someone missed talking to Daniel. I don't know if they did it willfully or if it was just by, oh, we don't really need him. He's not really a part of the in crowd. But Daniel was not present at that first mention. Nebuchadnezzar was calling together his sources for help. By the way, world leaders today still have their sources for help. People still have their sources for help. And notice who the king turns to: magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers. Magicians, astrologers, and sorcerers. Those weren't going to tell him God's word on the matter. They weren't going to give him understanding. In fact, these were professionals in magic arts and witchcraft. Similar to the men that that were in Pharaoh's courtroom who were constantly tricking the eye of Pharaoh to get him to believe that he was duplicating the acts of Moses. And they came to a point, and I love this, when it was to create the lice. You remember that when God took from the dust and made life lice? All right? Kind of a gross thing, but nonetheless, God gave life. At that moment, those magicians in Pharaoh's courtroom could not do it. In fact, they said, this, you remember? This is the finger of God. This is God at work. And I love that when the worldly man, when those practicing witchcraft and sorcery and magicians have to come up against something's more powerful than us. And you better believe it, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so they came together and they gave all their excuses. We read that. The Bible's very specific about the excuses that were given. If you just give us more time. The king goes, no. You get away from this place. You're going to come up with a story, and I'm going to know you're all frauds. And the king knew that something was up. These guys, their charade was being called in this moment, and he tells them, listen, if you don't give this to me, I'm going to cut you in pieces, and I'm going to make your houses the landfill. I'm going to make it where we take all of the manure out to, and it's going to be a dunghill. And so he says, listen, you guys are in trouble if you don't give me both the dream and the interpretation of it. And the Bible says he's furious. All the while, Daniel and his three friends are not present. Someone forgot to tell him. He was disregarded. They were disregarded. I guarantee you, as Daniel stood in Babylon and became known for his stand, that he was going to follow God and he was going to honor God, they're like, no, you guys are weird. You're weird. You guys don't follow, watch this, you don't follow the science. You know, science has become a god in our day. The worship of science. You know what? Last week, I think we saw in the scripture reading that science is right in scripture. God created science. Science and God aren't mutually exclusive, but we're watching this. You guys are know-nothings. You don't follow the science. You go down the streets and you see yard signs that love is love, right? Are you following me? Right, this is the statement of the world. Science is true, and they give their belief system all the way. I was up in Willoughby this week, and I was going down a road, and I saw this yard sign, and it gave all the belief system of the ungodly. Basically, they're saying love is love. You can love anyone. By the way, it won't be long until it's you can love an animal. You can be married to an animal. Watch. You can be married to someone underage. You watch it come along. There's nothing restraining them. It is absolute wickedness. Love has to be in the confines of truth. And so you see this going on even in our day. The godly man being disregarded. Well, you don't believe like we do. You don't believe the science. You don't believe all this. And they cast him aside. You're know-nothings. You're know-nothings. And so Daniel was absolutely cast aside. All the wise men were sentenced to death, and the first time Daniel and his three friends actually hear about it is when the guards are showing up to arrest them. How do you like that as a greeting for the day? You're under arrest for a crime you didn't do. Now, these wise men, air quotes to these wise men, they left out Daniel the group, but Daniel was now being held responsible, accountable for their inaction, for their inability. The Bible says in verse number 13, and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. I want us to understand this. Those that will make a difference in a secular society like a Babylon, like ours today, are often rejected and considered to be outsiders. You and I need to be okay with being considered outsiders. Not because we're weird or we're nosy, because we burn bridges. Are you all with me about that? We're not to suffer as Christians because of wrongdoing. Now, if we suffer for the gospel's sake, that's to be rejoiced in. But we're not to suffer as evildoers, as, and Peter says, as busybodies. There's a lot of people that they get what they deserve, right? They've been busy, busybodies. They've been nosy. They've been poking their nose into situations. They've said things that are unkind. They don't speak the truth in love. They're not like Christ, full of grace and truth. And so they suffer the consequence. But the reality is, as Bible believers, we will, in a secular society, often be rejected and considered outsiders. And what we must do is die to the desire to be accepted of this secular culture. And I find many Christians are not there. They're so afraid. We self-censor. We don't engage the secular society. Because what will they say if I do? What will they say if I raise the name of Jesus Christ? If I speak that? If I rebut that? Listen, you're going to be asked to lie. What do you do in those moments? Do you declare truth in that moment? Just yesterday, as I was asked to go along, we'll just take care of this, and it won't be any issue to you. And it was a lie. I said, you know what? I want to take the most honest road possible. You're going to be asked to lie in your workplace, another coworker, to cover something up. You stand on the truth. Well, I'll be rejected. I won't be liked. I'll get a name around the office. No, we stand for truth. We, even when we're disregarded. And so, biblical Christianity, following God, has always resulted in being left out, disregarded, set aside. Peter, as I mentioned last week, he was so afraid. If I just want to be accepted by these that are challenging me. I'm not with Jesus. We have that same scenario over and over and over again today. So though disregarded, I want us to notice that Daniel remained calm, verses 14 through 16. He was not catty about this. Because look in verse number 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and with wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. He is being arrested right now. And his answer was not, what? Why did they leave me out of it? I could have taken care of this. I could have nailed it. Right? No, he wasn't catty about this. He wasn't disrespectful about this. He was calm under pressure, and he answered with counsel and with wisdom. Verse number 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is this decree so hasty from the king? You know, sometimes we make assertions when we hear things rather than asking questions. Daniel asked questions. Why is this so hasty? Can you help me understand what's going on here? Instead of blowing up in the moment and getting all full of a huff, he asked questions. Now remember, the king is furious. The moments are clicking by. And the king is furious. And in this moment, Daniel responds with counsel and with wisdom. Do remember, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Is that a general life principle? A soft answer turneth away wrath. How many of you say, Pastor, I need to remember that this week? A soft answer turneth away wrath. I do too. It's so easy to let just that anger rise up. And, well, I'm going to tell them like it is. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Even within your homes, in your family, in your workplace, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Verse number 16, then Daniel went in and desired of the king, he asked of the king that he would give him time. And that he would show the king the interpretation. I do want us to realize Daniel as a young man had an incredible, incredible opportunity here. No one just walked into the king. How in the world did Daniel have this opportunity? Daniel had shown himself to be wise, to be respectful. Daniel had gotten the respect of the king. He's able to walk in there and to be able to desire this of the king, to ask of the king. And so Daniel's calm was evidence of this, that he had confidence in his God, that God was going to rectify the situation, that God was going to deal in this situation. And I just want us to realize, you don't go into a king and tell him, I'm going to give you an answer unless you believe that God had that answer. You can talk about the calm that was there in his heart. Friends, sometimes we're not calm because we're not confident in our God. We're alarmed, like the world is falling out of place. It's all a mess, and we've forgotten to be confident in our God. Friends, that starts in your prayer life. That starts in your Bible reading, in your time alone with the Lord to get confidence with Him. Daniel assured the king, action is coming. But action had to come from God. We'll see this in a moment. It had to come from God. If this was up to Daniel, he wasn't there. He wasn't in his dreams. So Daniel had to trust in the Lord, and his calm demeanor was an evidence of his confidence in the Lord. Luke 18, 27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. You know what? It's impossible to see souls saved apart from the Lord's help. It's impossible to break through difficult family situations without the Lord's help. Some of those scenarios that you have in your workplace are impossible to rectify except for the Lord's help. We're praying right now about the issues that we're facing here in Ohio, the life issue, and all the spiritual battle that's going on here. Friends, without the Lord's help, it's impossible. It's impossible. The spiritual battle has always been impossible without God's help. Oh, don't we need His help? Do you agree with me this morning? Y'all awake? One of you, right? Y'all awake? How important it is that we would seek the Lord's help. Now notice what Daniel does. Daniel was very dependent. Look at verse number 17. In his calm, this is going to come out of, I'm going to find a place to pray. I'm going to pray. And there's a lot of prayers in the book of Daniel. But here in verse 17, look at it with me. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to, notice, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Something I want you to see here. We know that his three friends were renamed in the last chapter, in chapter number 1. They got a new identity that washed their identity with Yahweh, that washed their identity with God. But here, as Daniel enters the house, the reference to these friends is still the old identity, the old names. And I just want us to be mindful, even if the world brands us or tries to rebrand us, don't you forget your identity. And don't forget one another's identity in Christ. The world may not understand it. They may disparage it. They may try to wipe it. But friends, don't forget who you are. Don't forget who you are. And Daniel and his three friends had not in that day. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they were going to get down to business and pray. And so they did exactly that. Daniel informed them not to form a think tank. How are we going to get through this? How are we going to craft a story that's going to get us through this? They didn't form a think tank or just spend hours talking over the problem. They got down to business and they prayed. They prayed. You and I are far too, and I say I, we are far too hesitant to get to prayer. We have problems. We discuss them. We share them with somebody else. We have an interpersonal problem. We discuss it. We have a financial. We have a whatever, fill in the blank. We have a need. We have a struggle. And we hesitate in getting to prayer. What did Daniel do? He specifically informed them. He let them know of the matter that they would desire the mercies of God. That they would get with Him and they would agree in prayer and they would talk to God about the matter. Can I challenge you, church family? Maybe even in the lobby this afternoon or in this auditorium, there will be a problem shared with you and you really don't have an answer to it. Can I encourage you to do this? Can I encourage you just to stop and pray? Just say, let's pray about that. Let's pray about that. Let's seek the Lord about that. You say, well, I don't know how to pray. Just simply call out the Lord on it. Say, Lord, we don't have the answer on this matter. We don't know what to do. And simply pray about it. Daniel was dependent upon the Lord and prioritized prayer in that moment, in that very intense moment. Remember, his life is on the line. His life is on the line. All the wise men's life is on the line. All these that do not know God and do not follow after God, their lives are on the line. And in that moment, Daniel prayed. Well, isn't it time for action? No, it's time for prayer. It's time for prayer. What you and I do under pressure reveals much about us. A probably can all think back to some moments where we've kind of failed that test. Now, I'm not trying to beat you up, but I'm trying to encourage you. The pressure's going to come this week. Why don't you just respond with prayer like Daniel did? Why don't you just say, hey, honey, let's pray about that. Well, I don't know what to do. Let's pray about that. Let's pray about that. Can we work on that, church? Amen. And so simple, we can all do it. We can all do it. Whatever is in front of you, we can do it through prayer. Lord, help us. Turn to prayer. But notice in verses 19 through 24, Daniel was not just prayerful. They got down to business. They sought the Lord. They asked the Lord's mercy about this. They were worshipful. In verse number 19, look at it with me. Then the secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. God specifically revealed it to him. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Sometimes when you and I get an answer to prayer, God comes through, we just get on with life. I want us to notice Daniel was just, he just had revealed to him a marvelous dream. This was a really great dream. In fact, this dream was showing God's plan that would take through the end of time. We're going to touch on that in just a moment. This was a marvelous dream, and Daniel was front and center to be able to reveal this to a world power of the day. And so he was really had an incredible, wonderful opportunity to showcase the plan of God for the world and what God was doing in society. Though there was turmoil in Judah and there was captivity and there was a destruction coming, Daniel was going to be able to say, listen, King, this is what God is doing in the world today. I mean, it was a wonderful dream. Fantastic. Daniel paused to worship God. Wow. Our God is big. Our God is amazing. And I want you to read this in verse number 20. Daniel answered and said, now let's follow Daniel's worship of the Lord in this moment. This is not just a, well, thank you, Lord. Now let me run over to the king. Remember, the king's furious and is waiting on an answer. Remember that? And here Daniel is pausing to thank his God, to bless his God, to worship his God. Friends, let's not forget this. Worship is important. Pausing to ascribe him worth, to declare his worth, to say, God, you're big, you're amazing, thank you. Sometimes we rush through prayers. Lord, bless this food to our bodies, amen. Sometimes we rush through our prayers and we don't ever stop to just worship God. Daniel, in this very intense moment, worshiped his God. Read it with me in verse number 20. Look at it. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. Just a side note there. We hear all this about global warming and all. Do you know God's still in charge of the weather? I know, I mean, to our world, that's unscientific to say. But I'm sure grateful that God said as long as time, there will be seasons. So don't worry, God's still in control of the weather. And so he says he changes the times and the season. He removeth kings and he setteth up kings. Now we need to remember that even in America today. I know we don't have kings, we have presidents and other leaders. But God removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that no understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee. Thank you for this answer to prayer, he says. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Daniel pauses to worship God. And friends, how important it is for you and I to make sure that as we hear from our God, as he stirs our heart, as he answers prayer, that we stop and worship him, even in the midst of pressure, even in the midst of a society that is against us. Worship is what gives us confidence to face our secular society. Your worship, your private time with the Lord, your relationship with the Lord is what is going to give you the confidence to engage the society each day. You say, well, you know, I can't really fit in time to read and I just run on my way. Friends, we need to make time to get alone with God and get our minds in sync with Him, to get our hearts in tune with Him, and to worship Him so that we're ready to engage in secular society. You and I, without a daily dose of the Word and connection with God, a daily, what is it, John 15, abide in me and I in you. He talks about His words abiding in us. If we don't have that on a daily basis, we're going to go out there and we will fumble the ball. We will mess up. Oh, how we need every day to be in worship, private worship with the Lord. Here Daniel is, he's worshiping his God. Thank you, God, for giving me the answer to prayer. You are the God that is almighty. You are in control of all things. I'm about ready to go give this to the world power of the day. But God, thank you. You are in control. You're the one that set up this king, and you're the one that'll take him down. Remember, he's just a young man, maybe 18, and he's worshiping God in this way. Psalm 63:3 says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Because of your loyal love, you have met me in this moment. You've demonstrated your love. What a good God that you are. And so worship gave Daniel the confidence. Look at verse number 24. Therefore, Daniel went. Therefore, Daniel went. As a young man. Sometimes we think, well, Christianity is just something for older people. No, it's for all ages. It was for Samuel. It's for Daniel. It's for Joseph. It's for young men. For young Mark in the New Testament. For young Timothy, Titus, others that were young. It's for the youth too. God wants to give you confidence in this day. He wants to give you confidence to follow after the Lord. And so Daniel is worshiping the Lord. And therefore, the Bible says, it's very particular here, therefore Daniel went. Based on all of this, based on receiving the request from the Lord, based on the worship that he had just given back to the Lord, he goes and he talks to the king. He went and unto Arioch, whom the king ordained to destroy the wise men, and he went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king of the interpretation. So I'm going to the king. I'm going to bring this good news to the king. I'm going to bring the interpretation to the king. He had confidence to go forward. Why? Because he had confidence in his God, and he stopped to worship his God. He was walking there not as a cocky, arrogant 18-year-old, but as someone who believed God, and God had shown up in his life and met with him in that moment, and he was able to go in there with all confidence. Oh, we need a lot of that today. You and I need that. I don't have confidence to meet this world, to meet secular society. It's just constant. It's a deluge of garbage that is coming down the pike. Don't you agree with me? It's just constant. And to stand up to that, and it's like, hold on, why are you thinking this? I mean, don't you realize these types of things would have been totally prohibited in public just a few short years ago? I read this week of a conservative. By the way, every once in a while I get in a tongue loop, and that's one. Being a conservative and a Christian is not the same thing. And if you think following a conservative is the way that you're going to get your daily dose with God or your daily walk with God, you're sadly mistaken. Get in the Word. But I watched a conservative just this week stand up at a prayer breakfast and say some things that were absolutely shameful before God. It was unbelievable to watch how tone-deaf our world is. You realize that you and I are constantly being faced with this. Constantly being faced with this. We need confidence. That confidence only comes in your relationship with the Lord. How's your worship with God? You say, well, I'm not where I ought to be. What would it take this week to get where you need to be? I'm not saying perfect, but what would it take? Would it take getting up a little bit earlier? Would it take setting aside something that's been taking your time and your mind? Would it take setting aside some entertainment that's really not edifying to you? It's not helping you follow after God? Say, I'm going to go spend some time with God. Would it take getting a walk out in nature just to pray and talk with God? What would it take to get to where you need to be in your worship with the Lord? May the Lord help us with this. Daniel worshiped the Lord, but notice in verse number 25, Daniel was humble. Daniel's humble. He's coming to the king. Now, here, this is really awesome. he is introduced. Arioch says, listen, I found a man of the Hebrews that has the ability to share this interpretation with you. And so he introduces him, and then the king said unto Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Right there in that moment, there's a choice. Yeah, king. All the other wise men couldn't, but I can. But I can. Now, it's true that all the other wise men couldn't. But that is not what Daniel says. Daniel says, the wise men, this was unknown to us all, but there is a God in heaven. And I want us to catch that. I want us to look down at verse number 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men and astrologers and magicians and soothsayers show unto the king? Do you understand that all the sources that world powers and people in this world are leaning on to give them answers for how to navigate through life and through the confusion of life, they don't give real answers. They don't. So Daniel alludes to that. They cannot give this, but Daniel does not insert himself in verse number 28. He says this, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. And then notice verse number 30. Follow along with me. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thine heart. Now, Daniel was asked a question, are you ready to give me this interpretation? He could have said, yes, I am. I'm the man of the hour. Come to me anytime. No. It was not that. There's a God in heaven. And by the way, I have this not because I'm super wise or I'm something special, but it's my God. Friends, the humility that Daniel demonstrated in this moment is the humility that we need to take this week. There is an incredible lack of humility in our world today, is there not? Everyone's vying for position. In fact, you deal with most people, they're waiting for the angle. They're waiting for you to put in the hook. Why are you here? Why are you asking this? Why are you trying to do this nice thing for me? They're waiting for the angle. And here Daniel says, nope, it's not about me. It's all about my God. There's a God in heaven that has the interpretation. Friends, oh, that we would boast in God that much. Oh, that we would lift him up in our culture. Well, you have a very nice family. It's because of Jesus. I wouldn't have been that calm in that situation. Where did that peace come from? Well, I've just learned to kind of deal with things. It comes from experience. You'll get it in time. No, my Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He just helped me in that moment. Sometimes I'm not always like that, but I just trusted in the Lord. I prayed, and he gave me peace. Do you see how easy it is for us to put ourselves out? Say, hey, it's all about me. Yeah, I did do pretty well in that moment. No, it's all about Jesus. There's a God in heaven. Here Daniel is, world power of the day. But there's a God in heaven. And do realize that to the kings, just like to the Caesars, the God in heaven would have been a threat to them. But not to Daniel. He is just bold and saying, but there's a God. There's a God in heaven. So as humility is rare in a secular society, we must demonstrate humility. We must demonstrate humility before our God. It needs to flow from our lips. It needs to be a part of our words. It needs to be a part of how we interact with the society. May the Lord help us with that. So Daniel was disregarded, yet he was calm in the midst of intense pressure. He was dependent. He was worshipful. He was humble. And I want us to notice what happens next. And our duty today, or our focus today, is not to describe all the prophetic implications or the applications of this dream, though we'll touch on it. I do want us to realize that in general, Daniel took what God had given him and gave it to the king. And he declared God's word. He declared God's word. Friends, we can't miss out on this. There's a lot of believers who are afraid to declare God's word, to take God's truth and say, here it is. Here it is. Remember back to Samuel? When God showed up to him that night, Samuel, Samuel, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Samuel finally got the understanding to do that from Eli, and so he speaks, and God shows him what was going to happen to Eli. Well, the next day he wakes up, man, I don't know about this. I don't know if I'm going to be, I should give this whole dream to him, but if he asks, I'm going to give him what God said. And you know what? The Bible says that Samuel didn't withhold one word. He gave it all. He gave it all. Friends, this society does not need us to withhold one word. We need to give it all. We need to preach the counsel of God. We need to declare it. We need to stand on it. We need not to self-censor. We need to publish the Word of God everywhere we possibly can. In every conversation where we have the opportunity, we need to publish the Word of God. Daniel declared the Word of God, and it was a marvelous dream. It was a marvelous word that God had given to him. I want us to realize in verse number 31, thou, Daniel, or thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. It was awe-inspiring. It was awesome in the true sense of the word. It was awe-inspiring. And so we have this image that Nebuchadnezzar is dreaming about. And we have a picture here to kind of typify it, to help us to understand. And so you had the head of gold, the chest of silver, the thighs of bronze, the legs of iron, and then iron and clay as the mixed feet. And so keep that up there, guys. And I want us to just realize that this dream was something that was awe-inspiring. It was amazing, but it had a meaning. It had an important meaning for Nebuchadnezzar. And I want us to realize this, first of all, as Daniel spoke the word of the Lord to the king, do you remember this? That a part of what Daniel was being able to say and stand on was, God knows what happens in your dreams. God knows your thoughts. You might forget, you might not be able to resurrect it, but God knows. And also, God had given that dream. And sometimes this world quickly forgets what God says and quickly forgets what God reveals, but God doesn't forget what he reveals. And he gave it to Daniel, gave it to a preacher to bring it back to the king. Gave a preacher in that moment, a prophet in that moment, to declare this dream. And it was an awesome dream. Daniel was saying, man, this is a really marvelous and great dream. This large statue standing before you. Now, also notice that this statue wasn't portrayed in this dream as permanent. It was temporary. And then at the end of this dream, there was this large stone. We'll get to this in a minute. A large stone crushes in on this statue, and it's all destroyed like chaff. It's like, so this whole statue comes falling down and kind of blows away just like chaff from wheat. It's just like nothing. And so this is kind of an interesting dream because whatever is standing here in front of all, you know, from all of the world to see is not permanent. It's very temporary. I want us to realize in verses 37 and 38, Daniel says this, thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. Daniel stood before the king as a young man without arrogance and saying, king, your dream, whatever that statue is not permanent. It will come to an end. God knows your thoughts, king. And by the way, king, your power that you have today, your power is God-given. It is literally on loan from God. It's something that God has given to you. God has given you this kingdom. God has given you the power, the strength, and the glory. This is something from Almighty God. By the way, a lot of these kings would have thought they were self-made individuals. They would not have credited anyone for their power. But Daniel's standing before him saying, this is from Almighty God of heaven. I want us to also notice verse number 39. He says to the king, and after thee shall arise another kingdom. Now, his kingdom was the head of gold, Babylon. His kingdom was the head of gold. And so I want us to realize that he says, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to him. So I want us to go back and notice in verse number 39. Are you all there? And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. Now, Daniel said inferior to thee. It's interesting because that's a wise thing to say to a king. But I do want us to realize he said after thee. After thee. Did you notice what the wise men in verse number 4, is it, said to the king? In verse number 4, look at it. I'm back to verse number 4. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac. And I want us to read it all together good and loud. O king, live forever. Once again, O king, live forever. Here Daniel is saying, and after thee, and after thee. Now, Daniel could have gone along with what is wrote to say to the kings, to just say, hey, king, live forever. How many of you realize none of us live forever? Right? This is a good wish to the king. But understand that Daniel doesn't even go along with that. Daniel is anchored in truth, and even in his comments, he's not going to go along with secular thinking. Oh, king, live forever. No, after you, there's going to arise another one, though inferior, though not as great as you, he is going to arise. And so, king, your life and reign is not forever. Your life and reign is not forever. Notice in verses 39 and forward, God is in control, because what Daniel begins to do is he begins to walk down through this. After the Babylonian, the head of gold, this wonderful, wonderful kingdom, there's going to be the Medes and the Persians, the chest of silver. And then God's going to transfer authority or the power over to the Greeks, the thighs of brass. And then beyond that, God is again going to move the authority that he gives to people and to kingdoms, and he's going to move it on to the ancient Romans. And then beyond that, the restored Roman Empire. And so I just want us to realize Daniel's simply saying there's going to be a transfer of power from you to others, to others, to others. Your kingdom is not forever. God is in control of kings. And Daniel actually prayed that in verse number 21. Daniel was one that lifted up the Lord. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. And even his own worship of the God of heaven, who's in control of all kings, prepared him for this moment to say, listen, after thee, it's going to arise other kings. Though inferior, they're going to arise. There's going to be other kingdoms. And he walks down through this. This is the interpretation of the dream that God had given to him. And so he walks down through this with the king. But I want us to notice verse number 45. For as much as thou sawest, the stone was cut out of the mountain. Now notice these words, without hands. Without hands. And that it break in pieces the iron and the brass and the clay and the silver and the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. It's not maybe, it is absolutely sure. And so he reveals to the king, there's a greater king coming, and his name is the Messiah, the one that's made without hands. It speaks of his divinity, it speaks of his eternality. He's made without hands, and his government will be as a mountain that fills up the earth, and it will be a strong kingdom. And Daniel looks forward and predicts the day, or prophesies of the day, that Jesus would rule from Jerusalem with a rod of iron. We find that in Revelation chapter number 19, 11 and following. He'll rule with a rod of iron, and it won't just be in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. He will rule for all eternity. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Truly an awesome dream. Truly. And friends, I'm telling you what, that ought to encourage our hearts. That's still the plan today. This given to Nebuchadnezzar all those years ago is still, God is still working this out today. This is a wonderful dream. Jesus is the central figure of all history. And he's going to be King of kings. And we fret about dictators and world powers flexing their muscles, or sometimes world powers not being able to know what to say on the stage. We stress about all that stuff. But you realize Jesus is still going to reign. None of it's going to stop the advance of his kingdom. Praise God. Take heart, church. None of it's going to stop. And this is a powerful dream that he gives to Nebuchadnezzar. And so the interpretation did not flatter Nebuchadnezzar. It didn't say that you're just going to be great and greater for all of eternity. No, your time's going to come to an end. And God has a plan that's bigger than you. You know, the declaration of the person of Christ and God's plan in society and in the world and in history is never popular, especially to world leaders. There is a reason that the name of Jesus and Christianity is becoming less popular in our society here in America. Because as our leaders get more and more in opposition and become more hateful towards Jesus Christ, his plan and their plans run two different rails. Do you realize that Daniel standing in front of a king, he didn't want to hear about another king coming, but he was faithful to the word. Don't withhold the word. We have a king coming. Jesus already is king. He is to have that kingdom in our hearts. We are to give him absolute sway in our lives. We are to be under his rulership in our lives. That's what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. We are to be under his reign, but he will set up a reign, a thousand-year reign, and yes, for all of eternity, he will reign as King of Kings, as the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And Daniel's announcing that to Nebuchadnezzar. It might not have been popular, but Daniel was willing to stand and to humbly declare the truth of God's word, even in the midst of that secular society. And may we do the same. Now, we read verses 47 and 48 and saw that Daniel was brought to great power. He was given great opportunity. And we said, man, I'd love to be there. What do I have to do in order to be accepted by that culture, to have that notoriety, to be able to stand in that place? What Daniel did was he remained committed to the Lord. He didn't waffle. So much of what we see in our society, even what is quote-unquote Christianity, if we want to win the world, we gotta lessen the stand. We gotta dampen down what we say. We need to have less of God's word. We need to just keep it to 15 minutes, and we need to give them the music and the experience that they want, and we can draw them in, all these things. Friends, listen. Daniel didn't do that. Daniel stood with God's word. He declared God's word, and he said what needed to be said, and God gave him that spot. He didn't manipulate to get to that spot. God gave him that spot. He didn't compromise to get to that spot. God gave him that position. Now look at verse 47. Let's remind ourselves of it. And so we have verse 47. The king answered to Daniel, "Of a truth that it is, your God is God of gods and a Lord of kings." By the way, we'd find out in the next chapter that this is going to be tested once again in his life. He's going to disparage the God of heaven. But in this moment, he realizes who God is, that there's something about Daniel's God, a revealer of secrets. Seeing that thou couldest reveal this secret, then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. Daniel didn't compromise to get there. He didn't pull God's word. He didn't hesitate in declaring the whole counsel of the Lord. He didn't hesitate in saying, listen, king, there's going to come someone after you. You're not an eternal king. The eternal king is coming. And he didn't hesitate in giving the word of God. Daniel was humble, and God was able to use him. Daniel did not compromise his convictions. He hadn't compromised his convictions in the first chapter. It didn't start now. And God has given him a place of leadership. Now notice this. Now in verse 48 and following, we have four individuals. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We have four individuals who are now leading in the government of Babylon as young men. It is understood in the general political culture of today that you have to compromise your Christianity in order to go anywhere. Friends, Daniel did not believe that. Don't you compromise your Christianity to get into any position in your workplace or to any position in your community, any position in any club that you're in. Do not compromise your convictions. Do not. Daniel stood by the stuff, and God gave him this opportunity. So there's now four God-fearing men ruling over them. Daniel did not compromise, and God gave this to them. I also want us to realize, in a remarkable way, one man said, God had elevated Daniel to a place where he could now be a mediator between the king and those that would come from Judah. God knew where he wanted Daniel and placed them in a position of power, whereas the captives would come over from Judah, he'd be able to intercede or communicate for them. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. God put them there on purpose. And when we choose to lift up God, even in a secular society, God will put us in places that we didn't manipulate for. God will take care of it. Before God can greatly use a man, he must humble a man. He must be humble before his God. Don't let the arrogance that is everywhere in our society corrupt you. God hates pride. Let's walk humbly with our God. We aren't the end all. Life doesn't revolve around us. Let's walk humbly with him. Let's be very, very quick to give praise to the God of heaven. For anything good in our lives, it's God. Right? Don't you agree with that? Anything good, if I touched your life in any positive way, it was Jesus. And let's be very careful about that. The Bible says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That he may exalt you, that he might lift you up in due time, not for your sake, but for his glory's sake. But I do want us to realize, in our society, there are many that are constantly seeking the acceptance of the society around us, and they think the only way to get there is through compromise, and they're going to nag in your ear. You can't take that stand and be accepted. You can't take that stand. Friends, I am here today to say Daniel exemplifies for us a man who chose to be committed, and God used him in the society. He might have not been always accepted by that society and by all the wise men. In fact, they were pretty happy to find him praying one day inside of his house. These guys were like stalkers. I mean, they're just kind of crazy. Find him praying one day in his house, and they're like, oh, king, he was praying in his house, and he now needs to go to the lion's den like you ruled. He wasn't always accepted by that society. But Daniel was used by God in that society. Why? Because he was committed. My challenge to us today is be committed to the Lord. This week, not 5 years from now, this week, will you walk in that same commitment to the Lord? No matter what, you're going to glorify him. No matter what, you're not going to compromise his word. You're going to declare his word. You're going to be committed to the Lord. May God help us with that. Would you bow with me this morning? God wants to use you, friend. Say, me? Yeah, God wants to use you. God used a teenager here. Friends, he won't be able to use us apart from our commitment to him. He wants your commitment. I was reading this week about how he wants your life to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. Right now, in the quiet of this moment, I'm going to say, Pastor, God is working in my heart about this matter of being committed to him. I struggle with that. I feel the pressure. I struggle with that sometimes, but God is working in my heart. I do want to have that commitment like a Daniel. I do want that commitment. And that's my prayer this morning. You say with an upraised hand, that's God is working in my heart about that. Amen. We're going to give opportunity to pray here in just a moment and find a place to pray, and I encourage you to do that. Anyone here this morning say, I don't know that I'd spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't have confidence that Jesus is my Savior. That's on my mind. I'm not confident about that. I don't have a time in my life where I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, asked him to forgive me of all my sin. I'm concerned about that. Anyone like that here today? I don't know for certain. Anyone, I would not point you out, but I'd certainly like to pray for you. I believe I'm speaking to mostly believers here today. So my encouragement to you is let's all seek the Lord for his strength, just like David, just like Daniel did. Lord, I need you. I need your mercy in this moment. God will give that to you even for this week. Let's stand. Father, would you help us to be committed like a Daniel? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Find a place to pray. You can respond to the altar here if you have any need or need someone to pray with you. Let's find a place to pray this morning.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.